your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Good day, and welcome to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Reiki Master and host Phyllis Lei Forimoto, as she shares with you inspiring stories along with her practical wisdom for finding balance with spirit in everyday life. Now here's your host, Phyllis Forimoto.
Hello, this is Phyllis Forimoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. We're in the last two interviews of the series, Is Reiki a Movement? Is there a Reiki movement in the world? And today I have with me Nirdosh Samolyanov, and I think that's how you pronounce it. We'll see. And Nirdosh is from Russia. He's originally from St. Petersburg, now living in Moscow. And I've known him for many years, I think about 15. And through this time, the movement of Reiki in Russia has been incredible and echoed a lot of the other places in the world. And I've been very interested to observe it and to observe the move of Russia as a country into what we might call the 21st century. So I'm happy to welcome Nirdosh to the show. So Nirdosh, thank you very much for doing this interview.
Thank you, Phyllis, for inviting me.
Yeah, you're welcome. And of course, as with all of my interviewees, I would love for you to share how you became connected with Reiki, a kind of your Reiki story.
So the Reiki story actually started before I met Reiki, I would say, because sometime in 1989, I decided that I didn't want to do mathematics for the rest of my life, and started to look for something. And I was practicing karate and meditation. And at that time, Russia was in a kind of a state when whatever would come from outside was very interesting. Therefore, you know, the community of people who would practice all those things basically were the same, and they knew each other, and you know, shared the news and news about teachers who were coming. So, being at some meditation workshop, I learned that there was a person from Holland named Hans Treffers who was doing something they called Reiki. And when they told me about that, they said Reiki was a method to heal people through initiation, which somehow meant you don't have to learn anything, you just, you know, got initiated and then go and heal people, which sounded very interesting.
That's a very interesting description. I don't think I've heard that one before.
So, and it just happened so that, you know, this person came to Moscow, and I was in Moscow at the time, and I was about the same amount of money they asked for the first degree. So I just stayed for another 4 days and went through the Reiki class. Somehow, I don't know what the Reiki influence or something else, but after that I stayed in Moscow for another half a year, and I got pretty much involved in organizing groups for the masters who would come and organizing Reiki circles. Got my second degree pretty soon after that, and ended up coming back to St. Petersburg and inviting the first Reiki master to St. Petersburg. His name was Volker Brink. And so it went on. I think from the very beginning I somehow had a thought of becoming a Reiki master. And as soon as the first workshop for Reiki Master candidates was announced, I did everything I could to get there, and after that workshop, 1 month later, I wrote my letter to you, Phyllis, asking to initiate me, and having a thought that, you know, because you were so far away, the initiation would not happen very soon. So I had time to, you know, reconsider, get the money together, and, you know, all the things. But somehow, 1.5 years later, I found myself in the United States on the Virgin Island being initiated as a Reiki master. So that was the, I would say, beginning of my Reiki story.
And were you involved, you were involved in the Osho community also at that time?
Yeah, I was involved very much in the Osho community. I was traveling with my friends from Germany all around our former Soviet Union, giving workshops. Also went to Finland and Great Britain. And so, yes, pretty much.
And how did you, I mean, I've heard this from other Russian masters that this community who were into these new ways of thinking and so on were pretty small. And so there was this little community that everybody knew each other and, as you said, would let each other know about new teachers. And I'm just wondering, how did you go from mathematics to Osho and then to Reiki? Or was that the progression? Or was the progression really from mathematics to something more global or less linear, or?
Well, I started to study mathematics when there still was a, I don't quite know how to say, the old government, like the socialist government in Russia. And I mean, I cannot say I liked mathematics very much, but I could do it. And my mother at the time, when I was deciding to where to go after school, she said, because our society was so ideological, she said, if you go to study something humanitarian, you will always have to, you know, put up with what they say and kind of say the same things. And in mathematics, 2 plus 2 always makes 4, whatever. You know, it doesn't matter if they're socialist or communist or capitalist. In power, therefore, you know, if you don't want to lie all your life, you better go to mathematics and, you know, do something objective. So that was a good thought for me. So I went there and I studied 5 years in the university. But in the end of it, I somehow asked myself a question, is this something I really wanted to do all my life? And the answer was obvious. And exactly at the same time, this perestroika happened and, you know, there were much more possibilities. And I spent 1.5 years working for a scientific institute, and after that I decided just to quit. So I took the first possibility to stop working there, and as I said, at the same time I was doing karate, so I was teaching karate for 1/2 year, I think. Also didn't quite like it because I, at some point, I started to meditate already at the time, and somehow started to doubt if I really need to, like, kick people and, you know, teach others how to kick people. I mean, right. I knew the karate was the, you know, the spiritual path, but in the way we did it at the time in Russia, there was, you had to create your own spiritual path on top of what, you know, we were taught.
Right.
Therefore, the meditation seemed to be more obvious in a sense of spirituality, so I kind of moved there.
I see.
And yeah, and then, you know, the move to Reiki was also somehow logical, because, I mean, first of all, I was interested into healing at the time, and second of all, after, you know, having practiced Reiki for some time, I found it very useful in the sense that you don't have to have or do anything in order to do your practice.
Right?
Because I was involved in the Osho community where you had to have a, you know, tape recorder and, you know, music and special room for meditation and some, the dynamic meditation is pretty loud thing. So, you know, you just don't do it every day because of your neighbors and everything. And Reiki was very useful to just, you know, put your hands on and do it every day, which I kind of lacked.
Great. And so Let's see. So your facility with the English language assisted you in doing a lot of the organization work and so on with the other masters that were coming?
Yes, I knew English not very well at the time, but somehow for the masters who were coming, it was more useful to have a person who didn't know very well English but knew Reiki, rather than have a professional interpreter who didn't know anything about Reiki.
Right. That's my experience in any language.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm kind of still ashamed sometimes of bad translation I was doing at the time, but, you know.
But your heart was in it.
Yes, my heart was totally in it. And I was improving. At some point, I went to 1 year course of English to kind of improve.
Uh-huh.
So
that
kind of makes it
happen. That's great. Well, I remember the story that you said about being perhaps the first person to translate the five precepts into Russian, and then a year or two later you looked at it and kind of was horrified, and so then you translated it again and translated it again.
Right. Well, the first person, not exactly true, because I think the first person actually was Anand, the
oh,
person
yeah.
who was from Kyiv, who already interviewed. And I was one of the seconds. Like, we uh-huh. already had precepts, but, you know, when we thought of translating them, I somehow didn't quite like the translation. I cannot say we did much better job at the time because of just what you said. Like, a couple of years later, reviewing it, it's not that I was horrified. I just found out that in the first time we translated it, I say we because I was doing it with my partner and at the time, and we... You know, we translated the whole blue book,
uh-huh.
not just precept.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, doing this, I had first degree for like a few weeks at
uh-huh.
the time. So, in my view, I just tried to make it sound nice in Russian rather than,
uh-huh.
you know, try to find out what really is behind it. And when I became a master and started to teach it, and, you know, when you teach something to somebody, you kind of see it from a different perspective.
Definitely.
So, yeah, so after some time I started to question if, you know, what I'm saying is, you know, adequate. And precepts was kind of obvious point to start
uh-huh.
with, and I reviewed them, and I thought, you know, it's not quite what I think it means.
Uh-huh.
And we still have, you know, discussions with other Russian Reiki masters who are English speakers also, because
uh-huh.
some stay with, you know, with this original, like, not original, like the previous version
uh-huh.
still. And,
yes.
You know, I kind of insist on the next iteration.
Well, we'll come back about this. We'll come back to this discussion in just a few minutes. We're going to take a station break now. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
Taking you to the threshold of a dream and beyond. Seventh Wave Network.
Never before in the history of live radio have such illuminating revelations challenged everything we thought we knew about the hidden realms. This exceptional mystic, seer, and healer creates a truly amazing bridge across the chasm that has separated man for eons from the unseen worlds of mystery. Join host Al Mean for an extraordinary and enlightening hour by Walking Between the Worlds on Voice America's 7th Wave Network. Walking Between the Worlds airs live every Wednesday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time right here on the 7th Wave Network.
Are you tired of carrying a heavy wooden massage table around? Is your back sore? Or do you have imprints of cables and braces on your kneecaps after sitting and giving a Reiki treatment? Try a lightweight Astrolite massage table for maximum comfort. Contact us, Paul or Upasana, at www.portablemassagetables.com. Astrolite, the table of a lifetime.
Over there? Over there's the water. Whoosh, whoosh. And look at all this stuff I'm standing on. It's called sand, and it's everywhere.
This woman may sound silly to you and me.
It's made up of little tiny pieces of rocks. Teeny little pieces of rocks.
But to her 2-year-old son exploring the world around him, she makes perfect sense.
How does it feel when you touch the sand? Is it warm?
Uh-huh.
It's hard to hold in your hand, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
Learning starts long before school does, and children are naturally curious. They want to learn, so follow their lead. Take simple, everyday moments, like sorting laundry or playing on the beach, and turn them into learning moments.
Is this water?
No.
Very good. This is sand. Oh, no, it's not food. It's sand. We don't eat sand.
Turn everyday moments into learning moments. Find out how at bornlearning.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
The new home for visionary positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Forimoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. I have with me today Nirdosh, who's from Russia. He now lives in Moscow, but was originally living in St. Petersburg. And we were just speaking about the translation of the precepts. One of the things that has occurred to me in all the different languages that the precepts have been translated into, that there is not just an understanding of the words and what they mean, but also to place them into a context. And I feel that this process of the whole Reiki community maturing and growing in their own understanding of the practice leads to different interpretations or translations of not just the precepts, but using the precepts as kind of an example of this. So when I have seen in Russia the community grow and change and develop into a mature Reiki community, I see that the translation of the precepts then takes on a very individual masters have their own individual likes and dislikes, and their will, and according to their own way of being with Reiki. Would you say that's true?
Yeah, I would say so. And it also influences in how people sometimes even rephrase precepts. For example, like I think it's not in Russia, but in Russia also, some people would say that you don't have to have don'ts in precepts.
Like negative words.
Because, you know, it's so kind of supposed to hypnotize you in a positive way. So I know a couple of people at least who rephrased just for today do not worry in just for today be peaceful or something.
Right. Well, you know, it's interesting because in the Japanese language, these are concepts. So this is some of the thing that isn't able to be translated yet. And perhaps for some people will never be translatable because of the way they hold their own cosmology of, you know, our existence here. Well, anyway, we'll move on a little bit. And I would like to know if you can summarize in your own observation the process or of the development of the community in Russia, the Reiki community. Do you think there is such a thing, this development or maturing of a community?
It all depends on what you mean by the words, right?
Right.
Like some years ago, I think I would say the community is definitely developing in a short run from what I see. Like, for example, when I got into Reiki, there were like two groups of people in Moscow. One group was taught by Volker Brink and Hans Treffers, and another group was taught by Horst
Günther
and his some of his students who would come with him. And so the funny thing was that in spite of Horst and Fokker being initiated by you, these two groups of people were not enemies, but kind of competitors to each other all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And we, at some point, had to meet and say, okay, guys, we're kind of doing the same thing. Let's start talking to each other and not say that, you know, your master is worse than ours.
Right.
But, yeah, that was good. And after that, you know, things went smoother. But then there were other masters coming,
mm-hmm.
and some of them were in a different Reiki style, and, you know, the same thing would happen again.
Like, right.
People would say, oh, no, this is not true Reiki, or... And they would say, oh, you know, what you do, it's just garbage, and, you know, we know what Reiki is. So after some time, somehow, even though these talks kept going, but they were kind of on the periphery already, and, you know, in the core there was a community of people who, you know, could talk to each other, understand each other, they actually liked to meet.
Uh-huh.
And at some point in Moscow, there was really amazing process with Reiki masters. You know, they decided to meet once a month to exchange Reiki, and then they decided then that they have to meet twice a month, because, you know, the first meeting would be for the first degree practice and the second meeting would be for the second degree practice. Then they decided they need to talk also about things, so there was a third meeting. And then somebody remembered that there were four aspects to a Reiki's Usui system. Therefore, they decided, let's have, like, you know, four meetings, like, every week. And people kept going there. And it seemed like very interesting, you know, building up process of, you know, Reiki masters coming together. And if you asked me at that time, if the community is developing, I would definitely say, yes, you know, this is what's happening. But, you know, a year later, the whole thing just stopped. And, you know, some people had kind of fights with each other and didn't like each other and, you know, kind of, you know, the energy dissipated. So I would say it goes in waves.
Uh-huh.
It's, I mean, it probably is developing under those waves, but I am not old enough to, you know, to see this other line.
Uh-huh,
but
uh-huh.
In my observation up till now, it kind of goes in waves. And then, like, new people come into Reiki, new people becoming masters, do basically the same thing. They get very enthusiastic about coming together, you know, exchanging Reiki, talking about things, and after some time, they kind of dissipate. And, you know, they don't stop being masters, obviously. They teach and, you know, have their own students and Reiki circles, but they stop, in some sense, having strong connections between each other, or maybe the connection goes in some different level and they don't have to meet physically so
mm-hmm.
so much.
Right.
This is probably the thing. So it you know, it's a difficult thing to actually answer,
uh-huh.
having been in Reiki only for 15 years.
Right. Well, from my perspective, I go into communities and do these weekend student gatherings, and one of the things that I see is that I can tell how a community is maturing by their questions. So at first, it's usually, how do you treat cancer? You know, what's the right hand position for a headache? You know, these very physical things. And then they move into other more complicated questions. And then eventually, there are questions that have to do with philosophy or with spirituality. And it's interesting to move through the four aspects, not necessarily consciously, but certainly it seems like there's a path somehow. Mm-hmm. And now, and the last time I was in Russia, the last gathering, it felt like people were now really ready to do exploration, that there was this very firm foundation of understanding about the practice, there was a willingness to keep their own truth, their own experiences, and yet as a group, perhaps have an experience that perhaps widens their understanding of Reiki or deepens their understanding of Reiki. I'm not quite sure what the direction is, but it feels like there's some understanding that as a group we might have access to an experience that we wouldn't have on our own or with two or three people. So for those of you who are not familiar with this, the groups that I have in Russia are usually between 300 and 500 people. So when we're practicing Reiki together, there is a significant difference between my single Reiki practice on myself or treating somebody, one person, or being in this room with 500 people treating each other. So I find that quite amazing. And in using this then as a kind of microcosm or a little part of a holographic idea of the universe, I imagine that that's also happening all over the world, that there are these Reiki communities that are maturing and the practice is now being integrated into our daily lives rather than having it be kind of on the phenomena level. You know, like what was your most exciting Reiki story,
mm-hmm.
kind of thing. And I'm wondering if you agree with that, that there is a progress, a natural development that's happening?
You know, I've met recently one person who is a consultant, and whoever somebody asked him a question, he would say, there are two things.
I can't wait.
So, one thing is that I think I agree with you, because, you know, I traveled, it just happened so that I traveled and been to many Reiki gatherings, and I didn't go there, you know, year after year, so I didn't see the progression you were mm-hmm. talking about, but I could compare, for example, Northwest American Reiki gathering with what we had in Russia at the time.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, yeah, so I went there right after I was initiated as a master first time, and I was very enthusiastic about bringing the kind of feeling I had there, you know, back to Russia,
uh-huh.
so I tried to organize something there. And it happened once, and then somehow, you know, Russians don't come together except for some big person come to see them, like you, yourself. Therefore, you know, our effort wasn't very successful. But at the same time, we managed to collect some number of people, I think 50-something. And the Breitenbusch gathering had about 120
uh-huh.
when I was there.
Yeah.
So, but the energy was very different, and I just couldn't, you know, bring up the same feeling I had, you know, in Breitenbusch. Therefore, I thought probably this community have to go through certain path in order to, you know, have the connection and the experience and everything, which, you know, kind of in a condensed way shows in the gathering when people
right,
come together.
Right.
So this is one thing. That's
uh-huh.
why I agree with you. Another thing is that we just cannot discount the personal path of maturation and changing of perception. Like you 15 years ago and you now see things really differently, and in probably the same phenomena you just take and experience maybe different things than you would have experienced in 15 years ago
mm-hmm.
in basically kind of the
right.
same situation.
Right.
Yeah, so it might also be that, you know, from your personal a growth process you experience now different things, and instead of, you know, thinking, you know, this is me who is developing, you can just project it and see, no, this community has really developed so
uh-huh.
much.
Well, so it's true that I had imagined that I stayed the still point, but I see that that's not really so accurate. We're going to stop here, though, and we'll be back after the break. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
Awakened Media for a Transforming World. Seventh Wave Network.
Reiki treatments can be done almost anywhere. On the floor, on a bed, or even on the dining room table. But I certainly prefer giving and receiving treatments on my comfortable, lightweight Astrolite massage table. Contact us for more information at www.portablemassagetables.com. Astrolite, the table of a lifetime.
Marissa, are you ready yet? I know you can hear me. You are not missing school again. Marissa! You trying to be a nobody or something? Let's go! All right then. Hit it. I know you can hear this. Hey guys, move closer. That's it. Girl, I am not leaving.
Hey. Whatever it takes, don't let your friends drop out. A real friend can make all the difference.
Cut that noise, yo! I'm coming! Took you long enough. Thanks for the help, guys.
For more ways to help, go to OperationGraduation.com. A public service message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Create a life with growth, balance, abundant peace of mind, and joy. Tune in and call into Spirits Evolving with pragmatic psychic and certified hypnotherapist, Lee Channing. By using the simple tools for growth offered by Lee, including intuition, color awareness, creative visualization, and more, build a stronger understanding of your own energy and offer clear, unencumbered energy to those with whom you share your life. Whether for an individual or a business, home environment, or your office, Lee evaluates and interacts with the energy at hand, providing an analysis of the problem and a description of the options available to move forward successfully and with grace. Spirits Evolving with Lee Channing, broadcast each Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, on the Seventh Wave Network, your online community for positive change. Spirits Evolving, your guide toward a life filled with more balance, intention, and contentment.
Listening on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Furumoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
Hello, this is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. I'm here talking with Nirdosh from Moscow, and we're just looking at Reiki communities and how they may or may not mature over a period of time. And Nirdosh brought up the possibility that it was me that's changing and not the community. Was that true?
Well, I would say it was about you changing and community changing simultaneously, so it's really difficult to, you know, put those two things separately and make a conclusion who is developing. Like,
right.
I believe both are, but, you know...
Right.
It's
right.
Really
I understand.
A matter of perception.
I understand now. So, just to get to the point of our conversation, and this has been great background because each of the interviews that I've done have taken this question from a very different perspective. And I'm wondering, do you see what's happened in your 15 years of being in Reiki, a kind of Reiki movement in the world? Or do you, would you call it something else?
Two things.
Uh-huh. Two things.
So, I mean, I've been thinking about it since you told me the topic, and here what I came to. One thing is, again, about perception.
Uh-huh.
Like, for example, I'm now staying here in Arizona, and in Green Valley, and if somebody asks me, so is there a community here? I, you know, theoretically I would say probably yes, because I'm hearing about that. But not being a part of it, because I'm a guest for a week, you know, on my experience, I would say, well, no, they're just people, you know, living in their houses around the same, you know, as I do, and, you know, I don't really experience a community. And obviously, if you ask any of the neighbors who, you know, just participate in the community life here and go and see people and talk and do something together and know the services which community brings them, they would say, of course, there is a community. Reiki is a method we learn from our masters. Therefore, we are kind of, after having been through the first degree, we are totally free to sit in our you know, house for the rest of our life practicing hands-on treatments on ourselves. And we then, you know, don't really maybe need and obviously don't experience Reiki community. We just have the method we practice. And some other people are participating very actively in organizing events and, you know, coming together, exchanging Reiki and traveling around the world, participating in different gatherings. Therefore, they would say, of course, there is a, you know, Reiki movement.
Right.
Well, obviously, there is a movement because it's moving, right? So it all depends on what we call a movement. So
right.
Obviously, it is moving. You know, more people get initiated into Reiki and they do something about it. You know, they either practice themselves, which I believe also influences the rest of the world. We might not, you know, as physical as if I do and organize the event, but still. But at the same time, coming back to, you know, Reiki being a method, I'm saying that because in my view, Reiki is not an ideology. So for the movement to have a direction, I think there should be an ideology, like somebody say, you know, this is how the world is, and therefore this is where we have to go, and kind of shows. And then all the followers or people who kind of think the same way would say, okay, and then go this direction, and then there is kind of movement towards something. It could be totally fake or false, whatever, doesn't matter, but, you know, they think they know where they go and they try to go this way. And I think it's, you know, in my view, it's a blessing in Reiki that we don't have this, because we are just given the method which, you know, brings us certain experiences we can learn from and, you know, benefit from. And at the same time, what happens also, everybody who is practicing this method somehow free to add their own philosophy to it, which sometimes make their understanding and perspective on Reiki extremely different from each other. And therefore, there cannot be, I think, you know, this ideologically directed movement of Reiki.
That's very well put. So, do you have another word for it, or is it just a kind of amorphous thing? I mean, maybe it's just kind of, I mean, I'm exploring this because I've heard people say, well, you know, the Reiki movement is this or the Reiki movement is that, and it just seemed like a really interesting topic, especially since I immediately thought of all these people I wanted to interview. And like Pamela Miles, in her interview, is very focused on public practice. So for her, there's a trend rather than a Reiki movement. And there's connection because it's also a spiritual path rather than an ideology, as you put it. And for some others, Reiki is more of what I think Oliver Klatt said was a spiritual connection that deepens the human connection between all of us. But he didn't feel like it was a Reiki movement either. Mm. So it's interesting, and it's very beautiful to have all these different perspectives, and yet as the Americans that I, you know, Paul Mitchell and Susan Mitchell, I think for us it feels like a Reiki movement, maybe because we have more of an inner ideology. Hmm. You know, that we project that onto mm-hmm. what we see the Reiki movement being. So I just, you know, as far as being able to change societal values and standards and have that really change and impact the people, for instance, that we might elect for presidents of countries or premiers or so on, and for our representatives, and how we create our own individual relationship with ecology and the global warming process and so on. So there's an interesting mix with all this. I'm just wondering, would you call it anything, or would you just leave it?
Well, I don't know the word. I could say this. In the last, I mean, I've been very much involved in the, I would say, in the Reiki community for a number of years, most of the time I would earn my money just, you know, through Reiki, mm-hmm. maybe meditation workshops, but I never really, you know, for me it was all spiritual kind of path,
right.
So I didn't separate the two very much. And then somehow I had a need in my life for some more material, I don't know how to say that, to be more supported materially, on material level, because I had a person to take care of at some point, and then I started to think about my future and somehow decided that I want to do something about that also. So I moved to, you know, it's been almost a year since I'm working for someone, like first time in my life, and they're earning money, and, you know, my Reiki practice went from actively, you know, teaching workshops and classes to basically giving Reiki to myself.
Right.
I mean, I teach every now and then, but usually it's like one, two people come in once in 2 months. And I'm saying that because, you know, when I'm inside the Reiki community and doing everything what I do basically is connected with Reiki as methods or Reiki as a teaching practice, then it's not that obvious how it influences, you know, how Reiki practice influences your life.
Oh,
because
really?
You're kind of in the thing all the time. But if you go out of this community, and then what I experience now, that some things would happen to me at work don't feel right. It kind of goes against my inner integrity, which I somehow connect with, you know, Reiki.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and Reiki being, I mean, like I cannot say the two are the same thing, because, you know, there are lots of people who don't practice Reiki but have their inner integrity.
Right.
Right. But for me, it was because I'm practicing this for all these years. I think for me, it's a method of discerning. Right. I give myself Reiki, and I understand better what I want to do and what I don't, what's more suitable for me and what's not. Yep.
Yeah, I have to interrupt you, and we'll go to a station break. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki Balancing Form and Essence.
Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her.
Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The law of attraction is very much in today's public awareness. In reality, it is not a new concept. Join Liana Carbone for Living Wisdom, the Art of Shamanism and Spirituality. Discover the roots of the law of attraction and go beyond its theories to manifest a life of balance and prosperity. Living Wisdom can be heard each Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Seventh Wave Network. Come join us to dream, learn, and heal.
Hey, how you doing? Educational videos, top quality, right here.
You'll never hear anyone selling education on the street. But with free family learning programs, you can get the education you need. Call 1-877-FAMLIT1 for information on free learning programs. 1-877-FAMLIT1.
Check it out. Win your GED right here, guaranteed, ma. Come on, check it out.
Free family learning programs from the National Center for Family Literacy. Brought to you by the National Center for Family Literacy and the Ad Council.
Reiki practitioners everywhere prefer Astrolite massage tables because of optimum portability, leg clearance, easy setup, comfort, and quality. For 15 years, Rampa Enterprises, previously Magic Flute, has been shipping tables around the world to the global Reiki community.
Why wait any longer to get yours? Contact us now through our website at www.portablemassagetables.com and we'll help you select just the right table to fit your needs. Astrolite, the table of a lifetime.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Forimoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
This is Phyllis Forimoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. Nirdosh, you were on a roll about this piece of integrity and how it might have been, how your integrity, your values might have been influenced or molded by your practice of Reiki. And were you going to say that even though that's not the only influence that other people might have, it could be in the world with all the millions of people who are practicing Reiki that could make a difference? Or where are you going with this?
Well, I was in a kind of a complicated way, I was coming to actually a thought that beforehand I said that what I think would be one of the characteristics of a movement is an ideology.
Right.
Because ideology gives people direction where to go. And actually, by direction, I mean it gives them a method to make decisions. So if I don't know what to do, I remember, you know, the philosophy or, you know, something some wise person said, and make a choice or make a decision in a certain direction because of that. And I also said that Reiki doesn't have, you know, in my view, the philosophy or ideology, and I actually see it as a good thing. And, you know, in just before the break, I was trying to get to the point where I would say that Reiki being not an ideology but a method still give me direction. Because through practicing Reiki, I kind of understand better what I like, what I don't like. Not on a superficial way of liking, you know, sweet tea or tea without sugar, but on more on a more like deep integral way of, you know, if I make this decision, how does it influence? I mean,
how does it influence?
Well, I actually have to take it back now.
Because,
because you know, it's already gets into the like mental interpretation of, you know, the feeling.
Oh, right.
Yeah, and what I'm trying to say that just, you know, if I have a choice to make and I practice Reiki and sometimes it just gets clear, I have to do this. And I can explain it to myself. You know,
right.
Or sometimes I'm not able to explain it to myself.
Right.
But I still have this feeling. So
right.
if I go against this feeling, after a while I have either I have an inner conflict or I just get less sensitive. Because, you know, the intuition doesn't come up when you, you know, ignore it every time.
Uh-huh.
But if I go with this feeling, then usually in my experience the results are very good. Like it was the right decision, even though it seemed illogical at the time. And what I'm trying to say, it still gives me direction, but in a different way.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so the thing which still does might not make it a movement, that, you know, another person in kind of the same situation would have a different feeling and make a different choice.
Right.
So it's more supporting the individuality of the people rather than them thinking the same and go the same direction.
Well, that is really great because I, you know, in my inner desire way back when, before I got into Reiki, I really wanted to find a way to celebrate what I call celebrate the individual. But isn't that in itself an ideology? I mean, or is it the opposite of one?
Well, you know, ideology for me is number of assumptions, I would say, or directions.
Uh-huh. Assumptions is maybe a good word.
And if I have a choice of, you know, the fact that I'm following certain ideology
uh-huh.
for me means if I have a choice, you know, I have a feeling to do one thing, but my assumption or, you know, my ideology tells me to do different thing, I follow the ideology.
Uh-huh.
You know, and then because I think it is right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and of course I can say, okay, you know, always go with your feelings or with your, like, inner feelings isn't also an ideology, but for me it's not because it's kind of description of a natural way of human being.
Well, that's a very good point.
Right,
yes.
It's more descriptive
uh-huh.
rather than, you know, you always have to do this.
Right.
I mean, it's kind of stupid to say you always have to eat what you like because, you know, because we...
Well, you know where we go with that. gaining on age, I don't get to eat what I like.
Well, I mean, they say if you really,
right.
you know, kind of listen deeply to yourself,
yeah,
then,
right.
you know, you get the right feeling. I know what you mean.
Yeah, really. Well, that's great. I mean, that makes it much clearer on some level. And so I would say that Reiki builds connection between human beings and also builds the connection between our universe, you know, like what appears to us as being real in our relative world, and creates this connective tissue, if I may use that analogy, to for us to be connected to everything. And I hope that this increase in sensitivity to connection and our strengthening of our connection will make a difference in the world. And I feel that in the beginning of this practice, my practice of Reiki, there were two philosophies that happened. One was, this is a very individual practice. We just practice on ourselves, and in that, we will change the world. And then there were other people who said, the more people we can initiate into Reiki, just that act of initiating people in Reiki will change the world. And I wonder if you see those two to be different, or if they're just the same, but spoken from different perspectives.
No, the second one for me is kind of dangerous because I can, you know, get some clever advertising person and really attract lots of people, you know,
uh-huh.
to be initiated into Reiki. which doesn't mean they will practice, which doesn't mean they will like the system, because some of them, because of their, you know, being attracted by some promises and not having these promises being fulfilled, can get really angry at, you know,
yes,
Reiki, etc. Mm-hmm. So for me, if you say the more we initiate, the better, it is a really false assumption.
Uh-huh.
And dangerous one, I would say. Even though, like, as probably everybody else who practices Reiki, we would like to have more people in Reiki, because it's just people we have, you know, better connection with, easier, and we have some common understanding and some common experiences. So it's like make our lives and communication more comfortable.
Uh-huh. I would say that's
yeah,
true.
But and that's why, you know, lots of us just prefer to you know, stay in the Reiki community. Like, I realized, having been about 10 years having been practicing Reiki and organizing events and traveling and teaching classes, it's like, you know, living in the ashram. You know, whenever I went to, like, country or city, I would meet people who practice Reiki, and we had this certain understanding. So I really didn't meet anybody
outside
of this world. And now I'm doing this very actively, meeting people outside of this world, and I would say it's much less comfortable place for me to be.
Uh-huh.
It's much more challenging.
Right.
And I, you know, I'm lacking some kind of connection I have with
uh-huh.
Reiki people. I'm not saying it's good or bad thing, it's just,
uh-huh.
you know, as it is. You know, having said that, I kind of lost my thought. What was the question?
well, maybe this is a sign, because this is the... Actually, we're out of time, but...
All right.
One of the things that I would say is that in your now stepping out into the what we might call the outer world, it's our next step to bring who we are into the outer world, to kind of like test that being that we've nurtured in the Reiki world, and to be able to see how we apply what we've learned, and how there are times when there is this question of whether or not we need to compromise ourselves, or how can we not compromise ourselves while at the same time maintaining relationships with these other people. And I think that's this huge test on many, many levels for all of us.
Yeah, and for me especially right now is about, you know... I call myself Reiki Master, like people call me a Reiki Master, which, you know, master part always confused me a little bit. And when I just out there in this world and do something or experience something not very nice and pleasant, and sometimes, you know, being not aware, or I just keep thinking, so, you know, how can I call myself a master? You know, it's easy to call yourself a master just because you have a right... sort of to teach other people certain method,
right.
But for me, mastery is much more than that. And in this sense, I continuously, like, the best explanation I can give to myself to not get totally disappointed in myself is that I'm just in the beginning of my path of mastery, like taking it out of this, you know, Reiki community,
right.
And really checking it and try to learn rather than you know, kind of give up the whole thing and say, you know, my calling myself a master was a big illusion.
Right. Well, I think that this is a great insight, actually. And with that, we're going to leave you. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
We hope that you've enjoyed today's episode of Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. Be sure to tune in every Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Seventh Wave Network, and discover how you can find balance from within.